Good morning, everyone, and as we always say, we'll welcome everyone to a Sunday morning shiur. We have a chance to begin our week amidst Divrei Torah. The topic of today's shiur is name changes in halacha. It's a fairly interesting topic which has become more and more relevant nowadays for reasons which I will discuss. But the connection to the parsha is because of the fact that twice in Parshas Vayishlach we find people whose names were altered, in one case in midlife, at the other case at the beginning of a life. We have there on the sheet within a few psukim of each other. The Torah says, "Vayomer Elokim Shimcha Yaakov, lo yikar Shimcha Og Yaakov, ki im Yisrael yeshmecha." That Hashem said to Yaakov Avinu that you no longer will be called Yaakov, but rather you will be called Yisrael, Yikar Yishma Yisrael. This obviously happened in midlife of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov ended up being called both Yaakov and Yisrael. The Gemara tells us that even though with Avram Avinu we are instructed that you must call a person Avraham and not Avram, because Hashem changed that name and it was changed permanently. But here with Yaakov and Yisrael, we find that Hashem referred to him later on as Yaakov also. So therefore, we have sometimes the name Yaakov and sometimes the name Yisrael. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu's name was not changed to Yaakov Yisrael or Yisrael Yaakov, which is what you would have thought today would be the practice, but it seems that when one looks through the Chumash and one looks through even the Gemara, you will not find a single person kimat, you will not find a single person that had two names. Right? The common practice today that people have two or three names, in some cases even more, right, was not the practice in the old times. And a little bit, you see that over here, the Yaakov Avinu was called Yaakov and then was switched to Yisrael. A few psukim later, we find by the birth of Binyamin, the Torah tells us, Vayhi b'tzeis nafsha kimesa, that the Rachel Imenu was giving birth to Binyamin, they're giving birth to a child, and she was dying in childbirth, Vatikra Shemo Ben Oni, right, and she called him Ben Oni, the son of my... Hard to know exactly the different interpretations what that word means, but loosely translated, the son of my suffering. Va'aviv karlo Binyamin, and Yaakov Avinu called him Binyamin, the son of my strength. So again, you find within a very short proximity here in the Torah, you find two people whose names were changed. In Binyamin's case, it was immediate, and it could be that Yaakov had the right to give that name, you know, but certainly in Yaakov Avinu's case, his name was changed in midlife. Which presents the question, which I'd like to look into today, can a person change his name? Now we know that legally, in the secular world, a person can change their name. It's not the easiest thing to do. You have to, there's a lot of paperwork involved, but it's doable. But as far as halakhically speaking, is that something that's an option? Now the reason why I say it's more of an issue today perhaps than in the past is because of the fact that today, in an era where there are many people who started out their lives that were not religious and then became subsequently, so you have, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, the situations where secular Jews use biblical names, but biblical names that aren't of righteous people. For example, you have in Israel for many years already the practice to name a child Nimrod. Okay, now why Nimrod? Nimrod was obviously a very great Rasha. I knew someone years ago when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Nimrod, right? And the reason why he was given that name, I believe, was because the Torah describes Nimrod as an Ish Gibor, that he was a mighty person. So similar, you know, I don't know if in the secular world we would today use the name of Hercules or something like that, but Nimrod is sort of identified with that. So that would be a name that people would use. And other names similar to that. So the question is, what do you do in a situation? Is the man stuck? It could be that he was given that name in his bris. You know, they made the Mishaberech or whatever, the Tefillah, you know, Vikari Shmovi Yisrael, Nimrod, right? You hear stories like this, we'll see other stories like this. So what do you do in a situation like that? And what about even without that? What about a situation where a person just is simply interested in changing his name? So we have to know, first and foremost, now before I begin, I just want to say that it's very hard to really get to the bottom of this area because it's not all that common, and it's, you know, if should it be relevant, a person would best be advised to speak to a Rav who's an expert in these areas. But the place where it comes up really the most would be where a person's name makes the biggest difference is in the laws of Gittin. Because we know that the halacha is stated in the Shulchan Aruch, and according to many Rishonim, it's a law that's derived from a pasuk in the Torah, it's a din d'oraisa, that a get has to have the name of the husband and the wife. In other words, even though the get is the document which simply says, I hereby, harayat muteras l'choladam, you are hereby free to marry any man you choose, and therefore theoretically one could make the argument that it doesn't need names in it, because as long as there were Ede Mesira, as long as there were witnesses who stood by and watched the get being handed over, that would be good enough. But nevertheless, the Rishonim, the consensus of the Rishonim is that a get must have the accurate names of the husband and the wife. And not only that, but the poskim tell us that it has to include every possible name that the person is called by. So therefore, the get contains the main name, and then we have what's called the miskari. You have the get says that this is the person's name, and he's also referred to as this, and as this, and as that. And so too, by a woman, would be the same thing. When it comes to these areas, so this is where the idea of a name change comes into play. Now, we have to understand that in all throughout the history of the Klal Yisrael, the most common reason for changing a person's name would be machmas choli, would be due to an illness. And this is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that's fairly well known, that the Gemara tells us that there are four things that could change the fortune of a person who is not well, and they are tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, that we always say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the fourth one is shinui hashem, changing a person's name. Changing a person's name has a power that it makes it like a different person. And therefore, the idea is that if there was a gzeirah ra, if there was a decree, a bad decree on a person for whatever reason, changing that person's name makes it that he's no longer that person. This is the concept of Shinei Hashem. It's derived from the Torah itself, where we find that Abraham and Sarah both underwent name changes before they were able to have a child, because of the fact that it had been decreed under the names Avram and Sarai that no child could be born. But Abraham and Sarah is different. And thus we have, this is the age-old, time-honored practice that we have in the Klal Yisrael of changing a person's name due to illness. Now, in this area, we have to note that there has been, that it's not practiced today exactly the way it used to be. And that is because in the previous times, in the earlier generations, and this is very clear in the poskim, when a person had his name changed, his name was changed completely. There was no remnant of the original name that was preserved. And therefore, if you had a person whose name was Avram, and that person was ill, so they would change his name, let's just say, to Yitzchak, and they no longer referred to him, they would not call him Yitzchak Avram. Or they add today, the common names that are added on would be Chaim, or Yosef Chaim, or Baruch, names like that, which are, speak about, blessing and life and so forth. In the olden times, when that name was given, the original name was dropped. It was completely dropped. It was a completely new name. Now that has changed. It's not that way anymore. And we'll discuss soon what the reason for that change is. But today, in our times, when a name is added to a person who is not well, the name is put at the beginning of the person's name. And therefore, let's say, for example, a person, just to take a random name, a person named Avram was ill, so they would add the name, today we would add the name Chaim, let's say, most commonly, or Rafael, something like that, and we would call the person Chaim Avram. Okay? But in the olden times, the name Avram was dropped, and the person was just called Chaim, or any other name for that matter. So the question now comes about, what happens if that person subsequently is involved in a get, if the person then chooses to divorce his wife, so what name goes on the get? So there's a very big discussion in the poskim, the Shulchan Aruch, Evin HaEzer, in the laws of Gittin. This is discussed at length. And basically, the consensus is as follows, the way it's brought here in the Aruch HaShulchan, which is on sheet 1, in the second paragraph, okay, the second paragraph, which is lettered Samach Tes at the outset. So he says, "V'hine, b'shinui Hashem." When it comes to changing a name, l'fimin hagam, according to the original practice, which was that when a name is changed, the original name is dropped completely. So he says, "Im kulam hayu karin also b'shem hachodesh." If everybody has taken upon themselves to call this man by his new name, or for that matter, the woman by her new name, so then lo hayatarach la'poskim b'zeh, there would be no halachic issue. V'hadavar pashut shekosvin shem hachodesh. And it would be very simple that all you do is you write the new name and the old name is gone. The old name is dropped, you write the new name, simple, because that's the name the person's called by now. So you'll say, what do you mean? But at the person's bris, or if it was in the woman's case, at the time that she was born, they made the big mishaberech and shul, and everybody called mazel tov, and they gave the kiddush afterwards and so forth. It doesn't matter. You're able to change that. In other words, the fact that a person was given that name, so, alright, that was the name they were called by, but ultimately, a name is nothing more than the way the person is referred to. That's what a name is. In other words, simply understood. The Kabbalistic side of this we will soon get to. But in the practical sense, right, a name is just simply a name, and therefore if you're not called by that name, so that's it, it's not your name anymore. And in fact, we find in the Shas, the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Lamed Aleph speaks about a person who had different names in different cities. Right, I don't know, the FBI was around in those days, but the person was known in this city by this name and in that city by that name, right? And the question comes up, you know, well, how do you write a get for such a person? And basically it says that you should write that in this city he's referred to this name, and this city he's referred to that name, because a name is ultimately how a person is referred to. So the fact that they made a mishabeach, or the fact that, you know, at the bris they recited the special prayer, in and of itself, that's not really what makes the person's name his name, or her name. What makes the name is the fact that that's how they're referred to. So if they no longer are referred to by that title, so then by that name, it ceases to be their name. And thus says the Shulchan Aruch, that when a person's name was changed due to illness, if in the old times where the name was completely dropped, that's it. Not his name anymore. Yes, guys. So good. So okay. So in practice, if that would have happened, they would include in the get the both names because of the fact that. But the truth of the matter is that I'm not sure. You see, when it comes to getting, because the get is such a serious issue, so it has so much implications. So therefore, they're machmir in a lot of things. But I don't know if Mikra did that. I'm not clear on that. You would have to ask the person who's expert in the laws of getting, which I am not. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. We'll see about all those things. But that is already, you know, mystical ideas. But in terms of practice, now the Aruch HaShulchan proceeds to say that the only question comes up if which often happens is that when a person's name is changed, they really still refer to that person by the original name, because they're so used to it. Everyone's used to calling the person by that name. For their whole life, they were referred to by that name. It's very hard to change it in people's minds. So when that is true, says the Aruch HaShulchan, and say the Poskim, when that is true, then the halacha is that the original name stays also. In other words, you would write on the get that the person is currently called this name, but you would say, Dimiskari, the person is also referred to by the other name. But if the first name was dropped, if the first name was dropped, then the truth of the matter is that the original name really fades away. Now, what about if the name was not changed due to illness? So what about if it was changed due to other reasons? So in Ayin here, on the bottom of the page, he says further, for whatever reason, a person needed to change their name, Hashem Hasheni Iker. The second name would be the main name. And then he proceeds to say that when it comes to a get, maybe we was this, maybe we'd be extra careful, maybe we'd include the original name. But the bottom line is that it's clear in the poskim that what I'm trying to bring out from here is that it is possible halachically for a person to change their name. They could change their Hebrew name if they so desire according to the letter of the law, and this is found, it's commonly done, the Minhag Yisrael has been always that it's done for Choli, but if for whatever reason a person feels that they want their name to be changed, so it could be done, and the halacha is that that would become their name, regardless of the fact that originally they went by a different name, and that was the name that was given to this man by his bris. Well, to this woman when they made her Mishaberech, yes. So whether you need a cause or not, you know, it doesn't sound like you need a great cause. Now what we'll see in a minute, we'll see soon whether you need any sort of cause. But basically, this is the accepted practice, this is the accepted practice in Christ. Yes, sir. Yeah, so the way a and it happens to be the way a person is called to the Torah is the primary way of determining their name. And in fact, a person who had their name changed should be called up to the Torah bedafka by their new name. In fact, it's clearly stated in the poskim that when you have a chola, when you have a person who is ill that has the name changed, it is crucial that people call the person by the new name. In other words, if you want it to work, that it should be a Shinei Hashem, that the person should have a refuah, so then you have to, it's not just a game, it's not just, okay, we said the psukim, we read off all the psukim there in Kuf Yutes and Tehillim, we gathered together a minion, you have to call the person by that name, that's their name. So if a person was named Avram and the person got sick and they added the name Chaim in front of it, so now it's Chaim Avram, it is imperative that person be called Chaim Avram. Or the person, even better, should be called Chaim. The person should be called Chaim because of the fact that that's their new name. Because ultimately, a name is how people call you. That what people call you is your name. That's what makes a name. I spoke this week to Rav David Cohen in New York. I called him, he's an expert in halach, and I discussed this matter with him. And he said to me that basically, you know, if for whatever reason a person needs their name changed, so what you do is, and this is brought in the Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein, that for 30 days you call the person by the new name, and that becomes their name. And the old name fades away. Okay? That is the letter of the law as far as changing a name. Yes?
The question was, what if the parents' name changed? Let's say...
Right. So then the son should be called by the parents' new name. The parents should be called by the son should be, because the son is called up, if a man is ill and they add the name Chaim in front of his name, and his son is called up to the Torah, his son should be called Ben Chaim or whatever. The Nun absolutely should be done that way, and people should be makbid. I know of cases, a Rebbe of mine who was had several, more than one name change, because he had a very difficult medical life, and he underwent many serious operations. And they were always insistent, if the son was called up to the Torah without the father's new name, they went over to the Gabbai and said, call him up again with the father's full new name. Because that's how a name takes effect. A name takes effect. There's no heebie-jeebies. It's not because you made a mishaberech or you said to him, that's minhagim. But the practical reality is that a name is how the person is called. If you call the person by that name, that is their name. And thus the Shulchan Aruch even says that if a person is a chola, so then they should be insistent to call him by his new name. Yeah, yes.
Now here's something very true.
Yeah.
Rabbi Avadah Yosef added the name Chaim.
Yes.
And we know that he passed away.
Yes. Yes.
He's well known under Avadah Yosef.
Okay, so it happens to be when you're talking about a name change due to illness, so the accepted practice in the poskim is that if the name change did not result a change in the person's decree, meaning that the person passed away anyway, even with the name change, so then the new name is dropped. The new name is dropped. In other words, because of the fact that it didn't help. So if it didn't help, so then you drop the name. And therefore, in the case of Avadi Yosef, for example, who we will soon quote, that they added a name at the very end, so the name does not stay. It will not be on his matzeva. Yes?
So if you do a name change, do you also have an obligation to do a legal name change?
You might want to. You know, of course, the English name, you know, the people who have English names.
If you Hebrew,
what do you mean? With the
Hebrew name.
Right, name change. So do you have to put on the driver's license, you mean? You're not obligated to, because nowhere is it saying in the halacha that a person's English name has to correspond to the Hebrew name. You could be, you know, named Avram and have the English name George if you so choose, you know, but nevertheless, yeah, if you want to underscore the fact that this is my new name, so then yes, the person, it would be a good idea to do that. I'm not saying you have to, but that would be a good idea. Yeah, yes.
In such a case, if a person is called by his Hebrew name, even by
Yes.
So if he doesn't change his legal name, then he's going to still be called his old name by...
Okay, so he should do whatever he can to have his, to tell people, this is no longer my name. I had my name changed. Right, we have, you see today in the world, in the English names, people change their name all the time, especially in the Muslim, you know, community where people take on all kinds of names, all kinds of interesting names that are, that people, you say, who is that guy, you know, okay, so it could be done by us too. Okay, now, so this is, so basically to answer the question, which was the title of the shiur, is it possible for a person to change the name that they were born with? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, and essentially the way it would be done would be to say, to tell your friends that this is not my name anymore. And you go for 30 days, 30 days of being called by the new name, you get called up to the Torah that way, and that's your name. And the old name is not your name anymore. That is the letter of the law, and this would come into play, as I said at the outset, where you have people whose names are names that are not honorable Jewish names. Like, for example, the name Nimrod, right, which to a secular person may be an impressive name, but to any person familiar with the Torah, the name Nimrod is not the type of name you would want your child to have, right? So therefore, in such a case, or a person with name is child Esav, you know, or something like that, right? So in a situation like that, if the child was, so to speak, stuck with that name, okay, so then when they get older, whenever it is, they tell everyone, it's not my name anymore. It's not my name. And I get called by this name, Zehu, that's all. 30 days, that's your new name. If it would ever come to a get, so then, or a ksuba even, then the person should consult with a rav to see exactly what, you know, sometimes people are extra cautious when it comes to these things, although sometimes if you're too cautious, you could create a problem because of the fact that if it's not the name that's used, so then it's wrong to put it on such a document. In fact, they say that the Chazon Ish was not in favor of naming a child with multiple names because very often a child who's given several names is only commonly called by one of them. And therefore, he said, you're creating problems because it's going to end up that the person's going to get married, they're going to have a ksuba written, and there is a concept in halacha of what's called a shem shenishtaka. A shem shenishtaka means a name that has been deleted, a name that is not used anymore. So if nobody calls the person by that name, so you know, a baby is born, and then it starts all the politics, who are you going to name the baby after? So you decide that you're going to name the kid, you know, Chaim Yosef, Reuven, Zundel, you know, five names to make all the members of the family happy, and also the person who embroiders his tone bag will get all those extra letters, right, going around in a full circle. So you're gonna stick the person with that name, but you're not using any of those names. So if you're not using any of those names, it comes to real Shiloh, is that the person's name? So you say, well, I gave him a name by the bris. So what? But no one ever called him by that name. So therefore, it's important in general that this applies to all of us, really. But very, very, very common that people have multiple names. That at least somewhere in your life, you should be called by those names. You know, let someone call you by those names. So at least, you know, and clearly to insist that you called up to the Torah by those names, even though being called up to the Torah is not that big a deal, as we all know, it's just the whole idea is just to get the person's attention when you're calling them up to an aliyah. But the fact of the matter is that if a person has multiple names, they have to be called somewhere along the line. And for this reason, the Chazon Ish was not in favor of giving people multiple names. But nevertheless, the accepted practice is not like that, and we do commonly give people several names. Okay, I just want to quote from something which I found online. It's a couple of stories with Rav Avadia Yosef. It was Zichron Levracha, was just referred to. So they bring here that several stories. One story was that there was a man who came to Rav Avadia Yosef, and he said his name was Omri. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Malachim, with the book of Kings, Omri was a wicked Jewish king who, basically, there are not too many good things said about this person, his name is Omri. Okay, there you go. Okay, now how did he get that name? We don't know. But somehow, the parents were inspired to name him after a vile Russia. Okay, so now, he came to Rav Avadia Yosef with this name, right? And the pasuk says that, Vayas Hara Beinei Hashem, you can't get better. Beautiful name for a nice Jewish boy, right? The Torah says about this person that he did all that was evil in the eyes of God. You know, perfect. So he came to Rav Avadya Yosef, and Rav Avadya told him that he should change his name completely. Change it, don't stop calling yourself by that name. In another case, a person came to Rav Avadya Yosef and said he had a bris, and said he wants to name his child Chofetz Chaim. Okay? How do you like that? He wanted to name his child Chofetz. This was not by a student of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, but he was so impressed by the Chofetz Chaim's greatness that he wanted to name his son Chofetz Chaim. And Rav Avadya Yosef pointed out to him that this is the name of a book, not the name of a person. Right? And therefore, on that basis, he said, call him Chaim, and, you know, hopefully everything will work out. Okay? In a third case, and I'll read you here the story, it's a very interesting story. It says, an incident occurred where the father of a newborn baby girl arrived for Shacharis prayers in Maran Synagogue, and said, paraphrase, he said that he wanted to name the child, when it came to the Aliyah, he wanted to name his daughter by the name of a certain kind of fish. So Maran Shlita, this is written when he was alive, Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal told him that this is not a girl's name. There's not a girl's name that's named after a fish. Gefilte is not right. That's right. Gefilte tuna, right? We don't find that, not commonly, people, sharks, they're not names that people are named by. So it says that the father insisted that he was of Tunisian descent, and their custom was to name their children after fish as a skula against Ayin Hara. Okay, because we know that the Torah tells us, right, that the Yidgul Rov, the Kerev Haaretz, right, Menashe and Ephraim were blessed that they should be like fish, because fish are in the ocean, not visible, and therefore they are free from Ayin Hara. So it says that Maran continued to persuade him calmly, and finally the man called his daughter Sarah. Rav Avadya Yosef would not back down, and he insisted that he be called Sarah. So the story continues, at the conclusion of the prayer services, the man was upset that Maran had talked him into naming his daughter something other than what he had originally intended. So Maran called him over and told him, when your daughter grows up, tell her what you wanted to name her, and tell her what I said you should name her, and see who she agrees with. And that was it. Okay, you know, if you want to name her after a fish, I gave her the name Sarah. Her friends will not tease her with the name Sarah. If you want to name her after a fish, you have to take into consideration what her feelings on the matter would be also. Okay, so there you have it. So thus, we have the idea of naming, in other words, the name that a person is given. It could be all kinds of situations where a person could be given different names, and sometimes there is a need for the name to be changed. Now, this that we've said so far is all speaking from practical, so to speak, I don't have the right way to say this, down to earth normative halacha. Okay, the mystical side of this, however, still needs to be explored. Because when it comes to these types of things, as anybody knows who has ever attempted to name a child, right, you start hearing all kinds of opinions, and especially a young married couple, you know, where the parents, the grandparents very often feel that they have ownership over the naming rights, and all kinds of things come up, and you should name after this one, and you know, you start finding out about relatives you never knew existed, and maybe you should give them that name, and then you should give this name, and this one had a Rebbe, and this one had this. So what is the mystical side of names, and does that impact at all in these areas? So we find, first of all, if you look on page 2 here, okay, in the second section, so the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us the following thing, that it says that the name Reuven, when we had in last week's parsha, that Leah Imenu named her first son Reuven, so Amar Rabbi Elazar, what kind of name is that? So Amar Leah, Re'u ma ben b'ni leben chami. Re'u vein, see my son. Meaning, look at the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. Meaning, look at the difference between my son, what's going to be my son Reuven, and his uncle Esav. Okay? On that basis she called him Reuven, because Esav went ahead, the Gemara proceeds to say that Esav went ahead and did terrible things. He sold his birthright, he eventually relinquished the brachos, and whereas my son Reuven is destined to do a great thing, because he is going to go ahead and be the key player in saving the life of Yosef. As we know from the coming week's Parashas Vayeshev, that the first person to stand up in defense of Yosef was Reuven. So therefore, Reah said, look at the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. Reu Vein. Okay, and then we find further, if you go down to the wide line, it says Rus, right? The name Rus, my Rus. What is that? What is the name Rus? What kind of name is that? Amar Rav Yochanan, Shezachso v'yotzim imenu David. That she merited that David HaMelech should come from her, Shervayu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheyirveyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shiros V'shishpachos. Because Yirveyu means satiated. That, in other words, she was called Rus because the root word Rus is Raveyu. Raveyu means to satiate. That David HaMelech satiated God with praises, and therefore on that basis, her name was Rus. So says the Gemara. Now, anyone reading this Gemara, especially the second one, asks themselves the following question. Now, you say, well, okay, listen. Leah, so I could understand, Leah was a tzaddikus, so it could be that she had Ruach HaKodesh, that she had divine spirit, she had Nevuah, and therefore she knew what was going to come from her son. But who gave the name Rus? The name Rus was given by the king of Moab, okay? Not a person who was particularly friendly to the Jews, and not a person who we would identify with the divine spirit. Okay, so what kind of thing is that? That's he called her Rus because he called her, the Goyish father called her Rus because she was going to convert to Judaism and have a grandchild who was going to satiate God with praises. What is that supposed to mean? So the explanation is given in the Mefarshim on Kavuk and Yaakov where this is discussed at great length. And basically the idea is that apparently a name that's given is not just an accident. It may be the parents had a certain intention when they gave that name, but sometimes the name that's given to a person is divinely inspired. And God put into the parents that they should give that name, but the name ended up having some sort of impact on the person's life. That when you look later on in the person's life, you'll see that name somehow came to fruition. That name became a prophecy. Somehow the life of that person was affected by that name. This is what it seems to be, what the Gemara seems to be telling us. And we find further, if you look at the next paragraph here on page 2 in the Medrash Tanchuma, that we find on the top line, skipping the first few words, the Chazal tell us, "La'olam yivdok adam b'shemos," that a person should always look well into names. Likro libno haroi lios tzaddik, that a person should try to find the name through which his child can be positively affected. Ki repa'amim, because certain times Hashem goreim tov or goreim ra, that the name that a person has can influence them down the road, and somehow, in some way, on a mystical level, the name can impact on them. And if you read the rest of this Medrash, which I'm not going to do right now, the Medrash proceeds to go through all 10 names of the Meraglim, the evil, the 10 bad spies, right? The 10 who gave the bad report about Eretz Yisrael, and the Chazal interpret every single name that they had and how that name affected them negatively. And thus we have the concept that there is such a thing that a name that a person's given could impact on them. Could impact. It's not, obviously, I don't mean to say that this means that a person is doomed based on a name that they're given, or to the contrary, that a person is definitely going to be righteous if you name them after a righteous person, because obviously we have the most basic tenet of Judaism, which is the idea of Bechira, that every person has within their ability to choose to do good or bad, and we say HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyiras Shamayim, that everything is divinely decreed, whether a person is going to be tall or short, wealthy or poor, is all decreed in heaven. However, the one thing that is not decreed is whether the person is going to, how the person is going to act. That is up to each person. In other words, whether the person is going to be God-fearing or not is total bechira. But nevertheless, apparently on some level, there is some sort of impact that a name could have on the person down the road. Yes?
Okay, since we're into elements of mysticism.
Yes.
Can this have an effect on the neshama after the death, to where the typical example would be after 3-4 generations, whatever it is,
yeah.
Eliezer becomes Elazar or vice versa,
yeah.
Because of usage, and this one that thought it was this.
Yeah, that could happen. That could happen too. It's brought in the name of the Ari the Arizal said, I didn't see it inside, but it's, I saw it quoted, that the Arizal said that a person's neshama is connected to 10 generations previous in his family. In other words, in case, you know, sometimes it happens, say, well, why should I name after my great-great-grandfather? I never saw him. I don't know anything about him. While am I great, right? The answer to that is that, Kabbalistically speaking, there is a link between souls and a family, and the Arizal said it goes 10 generations. 10 generations. So therefore, you know, if you go back further than that, then already there's no real issue. But, you know, but anyway, but this is the idea, the mystical idea of having a name. Now, with that in mind, it becomes a little, the question was asked earlier, can a person just change their name for any reason? So, from a strictly halachic standpoint, I believe the answer to that is yes. That you could change. In fact, in the Beis Shmuel in Evin HaEzer, I have it in front of me, but it's not on the sheet. But he speaks about even a person whose name was changed due to a joke that people decided to, you know, whatever they decided to call this person, you know, whatever name, right? And that became no good reason. Even it wasn't even a Hebrew name, but that was the name that they used, and therefore, okay, that, he says clearly that's the person's name. If that's what you call, that's your name. Now, is that your name to the exclusion of your original name? So, it would depend. So now, if it was a Russia that the person was named after, like Nimrod, or Umri, or something like that, so then it's clear amongst all the poskim that you just drop it. Just drop it, take a new name, and you can pick whatever name you want, and go from there. Okay? However, if it was a name that was given for a reason, so then it seems that based on, and this is also quoted in the name of Rav Avadi Yosef, that if the name was given for a reason initially, then that name should not just be discarded because of this Kabbalistic, this mystical idea that, who knows, maybe God put that name into the parent's head because this name is going to impact, it's going to play a role in the development of this person's soul. And therefore, he said that if you want to change your name, you should just add it to the one you have originally. And it could be that this is the reason, because the Kabbalistic side of halacha, in terms of the adherence to Kabbalistic teachings in halacha, is really something that's only been for the last 400 or 500 years, which is a long time, but not in the context of the history of the Torah. So therefore, originally, we don't find in the Gemara, you don't find any rabbi in the Gemara, Amar of Yitzchak Yaakov, you don't find anybody like that. Everybody in the Gemara has one name. And even the people who appear to have two names, such as Abba Yossi, you find that the name Abba was often added to a person's name because it was a title of distinction. It wasn't his name. Okay, so Rav was named, the Rav, the famous rabbi in the Gemara, Rav's real name was Abba Arifa, but the name Abba was not a name, it was a title. So therefore the poskim say that you don't find any, even the Rishonim, you have the Rambam is Rav Moshe ben Maimon, his name was not Moshe Chaim Yankel ben Maimon, Shmuel Zev, right, that wasn't his name. His name, he had one name, everybody had one name. But in more recent times, it became the practice to have two names. But once that became the practice, so it seems that the poskim say that if you're going to change a name, don't discard the original one, just add it. Unless the original name was the name of a Russia, then you could drop it. But if it was the name of a person and there was a legitimate reason, so then you should hold on to that name. And this brings us to a situation, an unfortunate situation which could happen in real life, and it's brought here in the Sefer Otzer HaBris, which is quoted on page 2 in the bottom, and that is what happens if a mistake is made at the naming of a child. Okay, now everyone understands that if you attend the bris, so the moment of total silence, right, everyone's standing and schmoozing, right, while the bris is going on, and alright, they quiet everyone down, people start to pay attention, you know, stop talking, revert to checking their emails, but you wait till you get to the name calling, and then everybody, that's the highlight of the bris, everybody wants to hear that. Now it happens sometimes that the father, especially, you know, a young father, second time is naming a child, panics in the situation. It's happened to a friend of mine, where they said, V'ikari Shmo B'Yisrael, and they turned to him, provide the name, and he drew a blank. He didn't remember what the name was. And fortunately for him, his Rebbe, who he had discussed the name with previously, was attending the bris, And he said, one second, he walked over to his Rebbe, he said, what was the name again? And he said this and that, and that was the name, and that was the name that they gave. But sometimes it happens that under the panic of the moment, they give the wrong name. They give the wrong name. They go, oh, that was not that. Well, you know, someone yells out from the women's section, that wasn't the name. What are you doing? Right? What are you doing? Right? So, what do you do in a situation like that? Right? This happens. Right? It's advisable. Everyone with experience knows this, that it comes to naming a child or a grandchild, you make sure that the name is written down on a piece of paper, and, you know, and the person knows which pocket it's in, so therefore under the pressure of the moment, don't pull out a bill and name the child, you know, Chase Bank or something like that. Right? But you make sure that you know exactly who what the name is. But what happens if you gave the wrong name? So it says here, in Kara Adam Shem with Noah Bito, happens by girls as well. They make the Mishaberach and Shul, and the father made a mistake. So now there are two types of situations. So there are two types of mistakes. What we've been describing until now is a mistake where he just totally blanked out. But then you could have a worse situation potentially, where the father intended for that name to be given, but then he gets home and starts calling his relatives and says, oh, we got a mazel tov, we named the baby this and this. And all of a sudden, the criticism starts coming in. How can you give that name? What do you mean? We have an uncle who has that name. How dare you? He's still alive. Ashkenazim don't name after wise people, right? Or what about this? Or, you know, this name reminds me of this person who I would never speak to again. So what do you do in a situation like that?
You're
your other son. Yeah, that happens too. Right? They already named the child with that name. Right? So he comes home from shul, he tells his other daughter, you know, he named the daughter, you know, Rochelay, and she says, that's my name. Right? So what do you do in a situation like that? So he says that Yocho La'aka Shema Rishon L'Gamri, this book is written by one of the famous Moalim in Eretz Yisrael, where he writes that Yochel Laka Shem Rishon Lagami on the third line, in such a case where it's a politically incorrect name, you could just change it. However, he says, V'mein Makpidin Alzeh Yosef Lo Shem Acher. Others say that if you can, it's better to preserve the original name and keep the name you gave and maybe add the name you wanted to give onto that, because again, there's the mystical side of it. In other words, from a practical standpoint, in the halacha, the clear black and white, hardcore halacha, you just drop the name. The name is ultimately, it doesn't matter what you said by the Mishaberach, it matters what the person's going to be called. So if nobody's called, you don't call the kid by that name, it ceases to be their name. However, from a mystical standpoint, there is this idea that the name impacts on the neshama, and that's what you had in mind, and it wasn't a mistake, you meant to use that name. So you didn't know that you had an uncle whose second name was that name that you just used, and now he's going to be insulted. But you intended to use that name, so in that situation, it's better, if you can, to hold on to the original name, but if not, you could just drop it. Yes?
What about somebody in families, maybe they have a lot of kids, and they give each kid two names, and then they decide it's too much to say?
Yeah, okay, so again, according to the practical halacha, you can drop your name. But it seems that the spirit of things is not to do that if you could avoid it. Okay, now, he says in the second paragraph though, if the father made a mistake, it was a total mistake. When they said the name at the bris, the father just gave the wrong name. Okay, so here, there is a question whether what you do in that case, now I can't defend this, what it's written here in the Sefer, and I couldn't track down the source that he quotes in the footnotes, but he says that if the name was given by mistake, you should leave it. Now, I don't know why that is. You know, you say, but that wasn't the name that, you know, the father gave the wrong name to the Marl, you know, whoever was saying the Mishaberach. The father gave the wrong name to that person. So it's brought down here that you should change it. I don't know that this is the consensus opinion. If should this ever happen, speak to somebody and find out. But again, I don't know why this should be. It could be because, like I say, because mystically, that was the name you that came out of your mouth. Maybe it was, you know, it's not hurting anybody. See, and the difference between this and the previous situation is that in the previous case, somebody's going to be offended by that name. Now, if you're using a name that some living person has, which in the Ashkenazic world is a very sensitive issue, so then it could be that, you know, that's already reason, that would be grounds to drop it completely. But were that not the case, then some people say just leave the name that you gave, and that's what could you do. But I don't think that's the consensus. Should this ever happen, speak to a Rav. Now, there is a story which I once mentioned at a shir several years ago, but it's worth repeating. The story can be found in the Sefer Vaharevna, which is a Sefer which with the Piskei Halacha of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who's one of the great poskim in Eretz Yisrael, son-in-law of Rav Eliashiv Zatzal, that he says over an amazing story. I think this would never happen in America, but it happened in Israel, that there was a religious family that had many children, and the woman went into labor Friday afternoon close to Shabbos, and she was rushed to the hospital, and they because she already had many children, so the concern was that she would give birth any moment. They rushed her quickly. The husband had the practice that he did not go into the delivery room to be there when the child was born. Today it's very often common that men do, and there are many poskim allow such a thing, but there are those that don't do it, and this father didn't do it. So he was sitting in the waiting room, knowing full well that he has a whole slew of children sitting at home without either of their parents, and here he is getting close to Shabbos, and what's going to be, and some of them don't even know what happened because she was rushed immediately to the hospital. And lo and behold, the doctor comes out and says, Mazel tov, your wife had a baby. And she goes in, and he runs into the delivery room, and his wife says to him, Yankel, everything's good, quick, go home, you still have time to get home before Shabbos, get in the cab and be with the kids. So, which he did, and he made it home just by the skin of his teeth. He got home before Shabbos. And the next day, when they had the Kriyas HaTorah, he was called up to an aliyah, and he proceeded to name the child Rivka. He named the Shemikai Shnav Yisrael Rivka after some relative that still hadn't been named for, and they named the girl Rivka, and everybody was happy. And the moment Shabbos was over, so he immediately, a good husband, picked up the phone, called his wife in the hospital to see how she was doing, and his wife said to him, by the way, were you able to pull together any sort of Shalom Zachar? So he said, excuse me? So she said it was a boy. It was a boy. Now, I don't know why he thought it was a girl. It could be that because they didn't say, they just said you had a baby, they didn't say you had a boy. What's that?
The sonogram said it was a girl.
Oh, that could be also. The sonogram said it was a girl, but this is it. So now he has a son named Rivka, right, which is not exactly a good situation to be in. So they asked. So now it's true that he has a second chance because now they have the bris. That's a good point. So basically, Sir Zilberstein said, obviously you're not going to stick this kid with the name Rivka, go through life with a name like that would be horrifying for a boy to have to deal with that. However, he said that because there is this mystical concept that the name should not be completely abandoned, so he said, I think you should call him Yitzchak. Because, like we mentioned last week's share, the concept Ishto Kegufo, that a woman is like her husband, and therefore he said that if you named him Rivka, you should now turn around and call him Yitzchak. And he further said that had it been a different name that could have easily been made into a boy's name, like for example, let's say he called him Nechama, and you could easily change that either to Nochum or Nachman or something like that, that's what you should do. Because of the fact that, again, there seems to be this idea that if that's what came out, so then there was some divine inspiration why that name should be given. So again, according to the letter of the law, I'm quite certain, but you could check with the Rav, I'm quite certain you don't have to do this. If he wanted to, he could have named something other than Yitzchak, could have named whatever. It was clearly a mistake, there's no question, it was a mistake. But nevertheless, there is this idea that if that's the name that you gave, so then you should try in some way to hold on to it. Of course, it's brought here that if you gave the right name, but the person saying the Mishaberich said the wrong name, which happens, this really happens, that the person who's standing by the bris or the gabbai by the Mishaberich for the girl didn't hear correctly. So he said the wrong name. So that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. That could easily be corrected. No, that's not an issue because that was a total mistake. But here, and it wasn't given by the parent, it was given by the person who is not connected. But when it comes to the parents, there seems to be some idea that the name should hold. Yes?
Wouldn't, if in that particular story, wouldn't that be a matter of talents anyways?
Yeah, right. So according to the letter of the law, it sounds like. According to the letter of the law, I'm sure he could have named the kid anything he wanted. Surely he doesn't have to go with the name. Rivka could have named anything. But, you know, his feeling was, if it doesn't matter to you, give the name Yitzchak. Yeah, yes. 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 Paul. Right. Right. So if he, so good. So when a person has a name that, so on a get, that name would be written. That name would be written on a get. But it would, the Hebrew name would be written also because he was called up to the Torah by the Hebrew name. He didn't discount his name, just he was known by, it's very common. People are known by their English names. That's a very common thing. That doesn't remove the Hebrew name. That just makes it that you, on a get, if it would ever be relevant, that the, that name would have to be put down. Okay, yes, go ahead. Right, so if they're not given a Jewish name by their parents, certainly a name could be added, could be given at any point in life. If a person was not given any Jewish name, the parents were unaffiliated and didn't bother to give a Jewish name, the person can pick any name that they want. And you could make a Mishaberach, you know, and say the name, but it doesn't. The Mishaberach, this is what I was told by Rav David Cohen, he said that the Mishaberach is not what makes the name. He said what makes the name is what people call the person. The Mishaberach is a formality, but it's not like, oh, you made the official title and that's it, you know, it's sealed in the book of records. You know, what makes the name is the fact that that's what the person's called. If a person was not given a Hebrew name by their parents, they could pick whichever one they want and go by that, and that's fine. They're called up to the Torah that way, that becomes their name. Now, one last point which comes up commonly in today's world is a situation where a child is born and they want to name the person, they want to name this child after a grandparent, but the grandparent was not an observant Jew. The grandparent was not an observant Jew. And now the question would be, is there a problem with that? Because if we're going to say that there, and it's, it is brought, again, when it comes to naming children, it's brought down in various svarim, most of them mystical, Kabbalistic type svarim, Chassidish svarim, the ideas of names having an impact, well, that the name has an impact on child, the Gemara says, but that the name carries the neshama of the deceased, there's also something that's said, and so, you know, the name would impact. So the question is, well, what about naming after a person who is not Torah observant? Now, you'll say, what would be the, you know, is this just a mystical inyan or not? So we find, if you turn to page 3, the Mishnah Maseches Yuma tells us as follows. The Mishnah tells us that there were certain families in Klal Yisrael that the Chachamim did not approve of. Families of Kohanim. Okay, so for example, the Mishnah tells us, Ve'eru l'gnai, shal beis garmu l'rotzu l'lamed al maisa lechem aponim. That there was a family of Kohanim called Beis Garmu, and they were experts in making the lechem aponim, the showbread that sat on the shulchan in the Beis Hamikdash from week to week. And it was a particular skill to make it, and they knew how to do it, and they refused to teach it to anybody else. So the Chachamim were very critical of them. And so too you have the Beis Aftinas, another family of Kohanim who knew exactly how to make the Ketores, and they refused to give over that, how to make the Ketores. Okay, so and so forth. So the Mishnah, listen, other cases, and then it says that on these people who did not do the proper thing, aleu nema v'shem rishon yirkav. Shem rishon, the name. In other words, when it comes to a tzaddik, we have a pasuk that says that says zecher tzaddik livracha, right? The famous expression zecher tzaddik. That's a pasuk. Right, so Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the memory of a righteous person is a blessing. So that said, when you're dealing with a righteous person, but when you're dealing with a person who wasn't righteous, such as these people, now these people were religious Jews. These were religious Jews. In fact, they had many merits. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that the family that did not want to teach anyone how to make the Ketores, so you'll say that was wrong of them, but they had a merit also that none of their daughters ever put on perfume. Because of the fact that they didn't want anyone, we once spoke about this, they didn't want anyone to suspect that they were taking something from the Beis HaMikdash for their own purposes. So therefore, even at their children's weddings, it says in the Gemara, they did not allow them to put on perfumes, that they should not be suspected, that there should not be any chashad, and for that they were praised. So these are religious people. But nevertheless, it says that Shem Rishon Yirkav. Now, the name of Rishon Yirkav, what does it mean, Yirkav? So the Gemara here proceeds to say, Okay, it's in the paragraph, it's the same paragraph, the last three lines. My v'shem Rishon Yerkav, what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rakivos, Rakvivos, Tala b'shmosan. I'm sorry, Amar Rabbi Lazar, thank you. Rakvivos, Tala b'shmosan. That Rakvivos means rust. Rust should go onto their names. What does it mean, rust? The Lamaskinan b'shmayu, that we do not use their names. In other words, rust is identified with an old item that's been discarded. So, you know, no one's taking care of it. No one's is safeguarding. So it develops rust. So Shem Rishon Yerkav means that the name of evil people should rust. How does it rust? You should not use that name. Don't call people by that name. So the question now becomes that what constitutes such a person? Now here, look who the Mishnah was using it about. The Mishnah was not talking about Omri or Nimrod. The Mishnah was talking about people who got up and put on tefillin every day and went to shul, right? But because of the fact that they refused to tell other Kohanim how to make the Ketores, which the Chachamim felt was due to their own personal agenda, so they wanted to be the ones, they know the secret and nobody else, so therefore they said you shouldn't name after them. So how does it play out in our times? So there is a tshuva here, I'll end with this, there is a tshuva here from Rav Moshe Sternberg, Shalom Yerol, one of the great poskim in Eretz Yisrael, which is here, Tshuvas van Hodos on page 3. And, you know, he was asked this question, what do you do in a situation like that? So he says that, in general, he thinks it's not a problem. Because the main issue of not to name after an evil person, he says, is not to name after a person whose name was synonymous with a Russia. So therefore, Esav, or therefore, Omri, or so forth, okay, however, Avshalom, okay, however, when you have, and even here in the Mishnah, these people of Beis Garmu, or Beis Aftinas, so their name was known. It was known that these are the people we don't like, so therefore that name you don't use. However, if a person had a non-observant parent whose name was Avram, that was his Hebrew name. So Avram is a righteous name. Avram is a beautiful name. So it happens to be that this person that they're naming after was not an observant Jew, but on the other hand, they want to keep the name going, which is clearly understandable. So he says that what the person should do is one of two things. He says, by all means, you should use that name, and either, when you give the name, just have in mind that you're thinking about naming after Avram Avinu, right? That in other words, it's true. I'm obviously using this name because this is my father's name, my grandfather's name, whatever it is. But also have in mind that my son should turn out to be like Avram Avinu. And therefore, if you use the name of any righteous person, that would be no problem. He said that's one option. He said the other option would be to add a name to it. Add another name to it. You know, that may not be as popular with people because everyone wants to get exactly that name, but if you really wanted to, say add another name. I actually had this with one of my own children that was named after a distant relative who was not observant, and children were intermarried, but the fact that no one to name after this person, and he passed away, he passed away not long before one of my sons was born, and we took the name and we added the name of one of the Gedolim from, had recently passed away as well, and we made that the name. And those are the two options that are put forth in the Tshuvas van Hagos. Okay, so this is speaking about a person, so if it comes down to it's a common situation that you have a name after a person who wasn't observant, this is what you do, one of these two choices. Now, had that non-observant person, I'll end up literally on this, had that non-observant person at any point, even the end of their life, done tshuva, then there's no question that you can name after them. Even if they went most of their life to the very end, not religious, but if they did tshuva at the end, that's fine. And we find this in this very Gemara, in the commentary of the Ritva, one of the Rishonim, that he says that the name Yishmael we find in the Mishnah, right? Where you had the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, and you had the great Tana of Yishmael. So you say, what's going on over here? Yishmael, how do you have a name like that? The answer is, because like Rashi tells us in the Chumash, that with the burial of Avram, that Yishmael, we see that Yishmael did tshuva because he honored Yitzchak to go ahead of him. So therefore he did tshuva, and on that basis, that name is good enough. I was told by someone knowledgeable that the name Yishmael remained in circulation until the rise of Islam, that when the when Muhammad rose to fame, so that's when Jews stopped using that name because of the fact that it was identified with them. But up until that point, the name Yishmael was a commonly used Jewish name. And that is because of the fact that Yishmael did tshuva. There are still people today, by the way, there are still a few named Yishmael. And that is because of the fact that Yishmael did tshuva. So if you're naming after a person who at the end of their life did tshuva, even on their deathbed, they did tshuva, that would be acceptable for sure. But even if not, then either you have in mind for one of the tzaddikim who had the same name, or perhaps add a name. Okay.